going to be talking this morning about positive images and the affirmation of self. If any of you have problems hearing, if I don't speak loudly enough, sometimes I forget. Kind of give me the high sign, would you please? Or, you know, whatever. Whatever seems appropriate so the message gets through. Why don't you just start with a prayer that you have there?
Okay. I found a prayer while I was here, so I'd like to go ahead and read it, maybe use this as our opening, maybe get some thinking going. It's a prayer that God is praying to us. We spend some of our time praying to God, but this is God's prayer to us. And God said, "Come along with me. Come along with me. Let me come along with you. Let me tell you what I already know. Let me tell you of your uniqueness. Let us discover together. Will you take the time, the valuable essence of time, and come along with me as we sojourn together on your path to becoming? Do you realize the value of you? Will you listen while I tell you? Will you take notice that when another shares with you, that you have value by being there, that you are being trusted, a gift has been given. Choices, decisions, options. They are mine to give, and I give of them freely, and I am here with you always. It is amazing to me as your God that you may verbalize trust, but you demonstrate so little. It seems as though you do not listen. In fact, there are times when you will not listen, for you must be aware that I am offering you options. My love for you goes to the depths of being, and I want you and I to be, for in doing so, you will become all that I have created, a creation that will happen only once. Please listen to me. Please let me be a part of you."
Positive images. I think when Laura Lee and I were talking about this, we decided that the primary premise, the primary focus of our discussion today would be on the fact that the images we have of ourselves are reflected in our behavior and in our, quote, being. And the more positive the images we have of ourselves, the more positive way that we respond. I can give you an example. Yesterday at the session on hearing impairment, I was absolutely and totally delighted with it. And when I left here, I was higher than a kite. I went and I shared with somebody. Now that session went well and I felt really good. There was another session earlier this week where people seemed to appreciate it, but I was not comfortable with it. And I went back to the chalet not thinking very positive thoughts. And I admit that to you. And so, affirmation of self, how we do in some ways, I'm sure for all of us, it affects how we feel and how we see ourselves. I think you had an example also.
I have what I would probably call a strong feeling toward education, toward, it's probably stronger than strong, it's very, very strong. There are levels that we put people on, just as we do with the way that we're dressed or the way that someone else is dressed. I think most people will look at someone else, if they see them and they look like a fashion plate, they have a certain assumption. If they see them and they look like a scruffy person that's just come off of a mountain, but they don't know that, but they find them in the middle of Seattle, you have another assumption about that person. We have certain people we're willing to listen to, and certain people we're not quite sure we should or really want to listen to until we find out whether they're validated by us. What is their education standard? How many degrees do they have? Where does this put me in allowing myself to listen to you? And a friend explained to me something that has really struck home with me for a long time now, is that going along, loving the fact that she works laboriously, hard physical labor, enjoying feeling at the end of the day that great feeling of hiking 15 miles or working physically, but being discounted by others who think that she doesn't think because she works at a job that is a labor job. In other words, she has no degrees, she does not feel at quite the same level as a person that she might meet with 1 degree or with 5 degrees. And it's an inner feeling that she's in a turmoil here. Some of the best thinking is honestly done while physically laboring. And anyone who is highly educated, if they're honest, I believe will tell you that they marvelous thoughts come out of long walks, long laborious walks in the mountains, and or long, hard physical labor, cutting a tree, whatever it might be. So the fact is, we're thinking, we're all thinking, we all think on different levels. This person really needs to work on the fact that we are equal, we just all have different uniquenesses about us.
How many times have you heard a parent say to a child, you dummy, don't you ever learn? Or how does a child feel about that? Or if someone says to us, you know, that what you did was just fine, but have you ever considered doing it in a different way? And what a difference it makes when we are affirmed, when we are given credit for what we do, and yet encouraged to do something maybe better or differently. What a difference it makes. Do any of you remember the story of, and I can't even remember where it was, you may know this better than I, about blue eyes and brown eyes. The teacher who told her elementary school class one day, you know, all of those of you who have blue eyes are going to sit up here in the front because you're much, much better people than those of you who have brown eyes. Now, all of you with brown eyes move to the rear. And for one entire week, those with blue eyes had recess first, they got to go to lunch first, they had their bathroom breaks first, they got to read first or whatever happened, and those with the brown eyes sat in the back and they were always second-class citizens. And they got to feeling really crummy about themselves. And those blue-eyed kids really felt positive. And the next week, they all came to school just excited. The blue ones were in the front, and the brown-eyed kids were in the back. And the teacher said, you know, I made a horrible mistake. Just a horrible mistake. It's those who have the brown eyes who are the better people. And those of you with the blue eyes are really the second-class citizens. I'd like you now to change your seats. Those of you with the blue eyes must go to the back because the brown-eyed people must come to the front. They are the ones who really deserve to have all the credit. And so for this week, the brown-eyed people got the first lunch breaks, the first bathroom breaks. They got longer recesses. They got all the treats, all the positive things. And the brown-eyed, whatever I'm doing now, anyway. One got one and one got the other. And then at the end of the time, she said, you know, this is how we learn about discrimination, because we are all equal. Just because we have blue eyes or brown eyes doesn't make a difference. And all of a sudden, the children had learned a lesson that stuck with them and stuck with most of us who heard the story, I'm sure, for a long, long time. Personal affirmation. How important it is that we can give people praise when it is deserved, that we can encourage people, and what a difference it makes in how we see ourselves and how we see others. I, for example, know that I am competent in some areas. I feel comfortable in preaching. I feel I can do a reasonable job. I also know that if I have to add a row of numbers, it'll probably be wrong. I have strengths, as I'm sure each of you do. And I have areas in which I know I need lots of improvement. But the point is, the positive images that we have ourselves, not only do we have to acknowledge them and recognize them in ourselves, but then let them kind of show through in the behavior we have. We all have balance. What is the scripture passage? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We do have positives, each one of us. And we need to allow that to come through, to show through. Were you going to say something about that?
I was going to move on to the...
Have a number of things that they can think about?
Mm-hmm. What I'd like you to do is take a few seconds and think to yourself five or 10 areas that you know that you are competent in. Five or 10 areas that you know you are extremely competent in. And five or 10 areas that you know you do not do well in. Just kind of think for the next
even
time.
Three or five will do.
But you see, what I'm thinking is that yes, you think you might have one or two, but if you start listing them, you'll be amazed.
Okay.
Is somebody willing to start off and mention something that they feel? If indeed you feel all right with this, we could go along and have one person name three things. One, they feel competent, one extremely competent, and one not so swell about. Or if you're willing, just go ahead and name something you're competent about.
Well, I feel extremely competent with sewing in that I make draperies. And I also feel confident when I go out and sell to my customer that he has made the right choice.
Excellent. Great.
And another thing is in evangelism. I really love to do that. In fact, this is what has been my... I left home the 17th of July and asked the Lord to help me to bring people to me that needed to be talked to. And it's just been like you open the floodgates. It's been beautiful.
Exciting. Now, did you know this ability when you started out, this evangelism?
Studying and working on that and asking the Lord to give me the right words to say and to be sensitive to where that person is, accept him where he is or she, and it's really been exciting.
Terrific. Mm-hmm. Anyone else willing to?
Come on. I've taken it upon myself to be a greeter in the narthex of the church. And they tell me I've got a steady job. I say, well, all of you should be doing the same thing. But I even had two couples that I introduced that were later married.
That's so strange.
I have a reputation at this point. They all want me introduced to someone. Another thing that I'm not so good at, because thoughts drop out of my mind, is that I'm not a public speaker.
We all have gifts. Mm-hmm. We all have areas where we need strength.
But I can talk.
That's a good beginning.
I can talk.
You bet. I'm not standing up to
yes,
do this. I'm just trying to watch who's talking.
It's the power play. This is what's happening.
Power play.
Someone else willing to say.
Well, something I think I can do is throw my voice so people can hear, even a fairly large auditorium, because I was taught that and worked on it and so forth. But now if I go down to where Jenny's teaching those snowflakes, ooh, that just scares me, because all that little tying and twisting and working with those little threads, I just throws me apart, shattered.
One of my theories is that might be holding you back. Number one, we're in a public forum here and it's hard maybe to speak. But the other thing is that there is some place along in the scriptures also that we are to be humble, that it's not right to accolade ourselves. And if indeed we do accolade ourselves, we certainly have to do it with a little bit lower voice, and we certainly can't stand on the roof and shout about what we can do. But my God and I have a nice thinking going on, and that is that God will keep me pretty well in perspective as I say what I can and what I can do really well. We all need to say to ourselves, wow, this really feels good. It doesn't matter actually that someone else validates what you're doing. It's really nice if they do. And sometimes we need to be validated. And that's okay to go to someone and say, especially someone that you trust, will you please tell me I'm doing a good job? Or I know I am, but should I be thinking that I am? So I know that you all can do things extremely well. I mean, whether it's dusting the shelf or working in the library, it really doesn't matter. It's what you do that makes you feel validated and positive about yourself. So come on, somebody say something. Hi, thanks.
I feel like I'm fairly sympathetic listener.
Excuse me, whoever's talking,
oh,
can you,
Barbara, I'm let me know where you are. I'm up here. I feel I'm a fairly sympathetic listener when people talk. But I don't know, I don't feel confident in a lot of things I do. So I can't think of one thing that I can't do well, so that I don't feel like I can do things well. I mean,
you don't
and the list is endless, I'll put it that way, of things I don't feel confident.
But there are things you do feel comfortable with and that you can do well.
Uh-huh.
And you not only affirm yourself in those things, but other people affirm you as well.
Sometimes.
That's the way it is with all of us.
Yeah.
That's the way it is with all of us.
I think it can also be helpful to make a list. And you might not feel confident in certain things, but you might find as you write them down and you really discuss them with yourself, you might be real surprised.
You know, if God... Is anybody talking? If we are acceptable to God as we are, what difference does it make to anybody else? And where we have our strengths, or what difference does it make if we're concerned about how others think? Yes. Go ahead.
I think our relationships with other people depend upon how we feel about ourselves. And I think that we should always try to improve our self-image and our approach to people. I mean, we have a lot to give, no matter whether we recognize it or not.
We talk about affirmation of self. We talk about feeling good about ourselves. What difference does that make, as you and I were talking this morning, on your goals? What do you think you can do? If I think I can't do something well, am I going to go ahead and do it?
No.
Am I going to be excited about trying?
No.
You're right. What if I feel good about something? What am I going to do?
Do it.
I'm going to do it, you bet. And isn't that the same for you? And what does that say to us about what we think? If we can be positive about ourselves, then what?
Then we'll feel better.
Then
feel better about yourself. If we feel crummy, then what happens?
Then our work's crummy.
Huh?
Then our work is crummy.
Well, it may or may not be, but we may feel it is.
Yeah, we're not satisfied.
And so if we're talking about positive images not only come about, you know, what I can do or what I can't do personally, but it also has to do with our employment, if in fact we are employed outside the home or inside the home, if that's where we are there. It has to do with our family. Do I feel good as a mother or as a sister or as a daughter or whatever else, grandmother, whatever else?
Well, we have the commandment, love thy neighbor as thyself.
What other areas does this relate to? We talk about ourselves personally. We talk about employment. We've mentioned family. Does it have anything to do with our being a friend to someone or someone else being a friend to us? Yes, no. Are you awake?
It's difficult to be with someone who is so self-defacing.
Can you explain more about that?
Well, this is my mother's mother always put her down. And she never felt that she was worth anything. And it was hard to communicate.
Very true.
And the statement that I would put into that is that we allow others to have power over us. And I think it's rather intriguing as I discuss with myself, why am I allowing this power to be over my thinking? Especially if, and I really do believe, that I am totally accepted by God. And as I said, he and I are wandering, or she and I are wandering this sojourn together. And so why then do I allow someone else, another people, to put me in a certain category, or I allow myself to put myself down? So we have a choice there to continue to feel defaced or continue to feel less than. And part of what's happening is that as soon as you continue to believe that as the years progress, it's real hard for you to listen and to really accept what the person is saying, that you are of value. You really are of value. And you don't have to do anything. According to God, we don't have to do or be anything other than who we are. And what keeps coming to my mind each time I think I've failed, or I'm not as good as I should be, or I've snubbed someone, or whatever, or taking algebra this summer and having four tutors because it was real difficult to absorb, is the person in the iron lung. Now, if you want to pick somebody that can't do anything according to our American work ethic, that is a prime example. You don't have to do anything.
What does this have to do with our churches? I have a thing about churches that it just seems to me that many of our churches are very exclusive. If you come from the wrong side of the tracks, I don't know what that is, but you're not as comfortable in this particular congregation as if you come from the other side of the tracks, or that you dress more appropriately. In my parents' congregation, if I went to church as I am today, they would probably oust me out the back door. In the congregation where I'm serving right now, I go like, I don't often, but I could go like this and I could feel very comfortable because others are there dressed like this. In the congregation also where I am, it's and quote, inclusive congregation, there are many people of color. And we are all equal. We are all the same. It's not the black church down the street and the white church where we are. We are all together. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. And indeed, isn't that what the gospel is about? We are people with disabilities. There are blind people. There are several deaf people, such as myself. There are people with mental and other kinds of physical handicaps. We are all worshiping together. Isn't that what the gospel is about? We are people who are gay or lesbian. We are people who are straight. We are people who are old, who are young. We are people who have money, and we are people who have welfare within our congregation. But isn't that what the gospel is all about? So, affirmation of self. We are all God's people, even if we're Lutheran, or even if we're Episcopalian, or even if we're Presbyterian, or whatever we are. You know, what is all this about? What is affirmation of self? It's feeling good about yourself. God affirms us. We can feel good about ourselves. We can be more accepting, or we can tend to be more accepting of other folks who are not like us. And what does that have to say? Number one, how we respond to others and how others respond to us. I don't mean to be standing. I just somehow get there.
The other thing I think that's interesting is back to power and authority and where we give it is because you think one way and someone else thinks another way, it does not have to be one right and one wrong. And that it is all right that we think differently. Sometimes in the workplace we have to go along with that which we're told. But in our own lives, since we only get to be here once, and we are such a treasure and such a uniqueness that is only created once, what are we going to do with the time we have here? And some say it's better to be here 50 years than it is to be here for 1 year. I don't know that that's truly true. It's what are we going to do with what we have to work with? What are we going to do to share our uniqueness with ourselves and with others? And what are we going to do to accolade and build up others' positive images?
How do we build ourselves up? What makes you feel good about yourself?
I was going to say that I think that people are more willing to volunteer and do things when they feel positively about themselves, because when you feel negative about yourself, then you don't think you can accomplish anything, and so you never attempt it. And a lot of times it's almost a self-fulfilling prophecy. I've had that happen to me where I think, as a matter of fact, it happened right before I left to come up here. There was something that I wanted to do, and it involved my son, and I thought because I was coming up here I was going to miss the orientation and they weren't going to let me take my son to this group that was going to be happy. And so I got very upset and just, you know, it was awful. And I called him up and it was the wrong date. The orientation is the following Monday, but because I had read this negativity that, oh yes, this is going to happen and it's not going to be able to go, and I just got, you know, very upset, I wasn't even looking at the right date. And so it was like a self-fulfilling prophecy that I had seen this happening in the negative when it wasn't happening at all. So I think you let yourself be talked into defeat before you even try to accomplish it.
What are other ways you affirm yourself?
Well, I have a little problem with people with a lot of education. You know, with all these degrees and this. I find in the churches, I'm sorry.
You're like, no. She said, I heard some people do, and that's my friend who's saying what you're saying. Go ahead.
What I feel is that often in the church, those people are praised, but here is Mr. John down here who works faithfully every day, cleaning the garbage can, doing whatever needs to be done around there, has never been praised. And I tried, I tried with a pastor to get him to have praise in the parish news, someone who is not praised every day, and he refused me. He refused me. Because I could see so many of these dear people who work hard every day, and when you can ask them to do anything, they'll do it without making any noise.
And is it not true that everyone has positive qualities?
That's
every single solitary one of us.
I had a teacher say one time, with a political meeting, and she said, well, we don't get paid as much as the garbage man. And I stood up and I said, would you be willing to go out and collect garbage?
There's an old book by Harry Emerson Fosdick which has to do with self-affirmation called On Being a Real Person. And it starts out by saying that first step is to accept ourselves as we are, whatever our heritage has been, if we were born on the wrong side of the tracks, or if we're had the wrong kind of parents or whatever, and our limitations, whatever they happen to be, that we accept ourselves as we are, realistically, and then move on from there. That's the first step, self-affirmation. It's an old book, but it's a good book.
What are some other ways that you affirm yourself?
Betty.
I think one of the things that has helped me the most is believing in Jesus Christ, that he's really in you. You don't even have to have him walking over here. And that, anyway, that personal relationship with him is just magnificent.
I agree with him. Mm-hmm. Because with him you can do all things.
That's right.
And that chapter 4 of Philippians just really, if nobody has read it, please do and take it apart, because it really makes you feel good.
Mm-hmm. Can I just ask people raise their hands or let me know who's talking?
Yeah.
One of the things I do is come to Holden Village.
Good point. Who else could contribute? Could you have your hand up?
I read once a Reader's Digest article about a man who said whenever he was feeling down, he would write his own obituary. And by the time he got to the end of that, he always felt better.
Very good. What are some ways that we like to be affirmed by others? We've talked about some ways we do affirm ourselves. How do we like to be affirmed by others? What do you like?
Pat on the back.
Pat on the back. All right. What else?
Hugs.
Hugs.
Yeah. What else? What are some other ways we like to be affirmed by others?
Word of praise goes a long ways.
Amen. So it is. What else?
A thank you note.
Oh, tremendous. Thank you note. When was the last time you sent a thank you note to the service person who came and fixed your washing machine? When was the last time you sent a thank you note to the mail person? When was the last time you sent a note to the custodian in your congregation for keeping the place so clean and the floors so sparkling? When was the last time you sent a note to whatever, your neighbor who takes you to the grocery store occasionally? I don't know, but think about it. What are some other ways that we can affirm each other? Oh, come on, a lot of you out here.
Being with someone else.
Spending time with someone, you bet. That's a very, very good one. What else? Doing something nice for somebody.
Telephone.
Doing something nice for someone that has been nice to you.
Tremendous. You betcha.
Just a telephone call.
A telephone call.
Yeah.
How wonderful. What else? I think another thing that comes to mind for me is that we hear, again, back into the authority thinking,
authorities here, and there are those who are authorities that do not ever get a genuine accolade. We're all out there in the audience, we all clap, and we all go home. Notes to those people who we think have their lives totally together, they know exactly where they're going and what's happening. They're us, and they also need to hear. We all need to hear.
So we've talked about, yeah.
Just one more thing. I think one thing that really has a positive effect on people, it's not a specific action, but I think a lot of times it's something that's unexpected.
Well said. Well said. A flower. A hello. Totally unexpected. No reason to give you the flower. You didn't do anything as far as you're aware.
Saying something nice to your parent.
To your
parent outside of Mother's Day and Father's Day, and the rest of the year you don't know they're alive. Mm-hmm. You bother to call them, whatever, write a note. To me, that means an awful lot.
How about how we can affirm each other just out here by saying hello to somebody out in the patio, going up and talking to someone as you're drinking your coffee? How about sitting next to that lonely person at the cafe counter in your own town? There are a million things that we can do. Yes? Oh, over there. Oh, okay.
Ask someone else for his opinion or his thoughts.
Excellent.
I think young children can teach us a lot about affirmation. Because I taught school, and the little children, there wasn't a day but what they'd say they loved you, or that you have a pretty dress, or something nice. And as a teacher, mm-hmm. you must give it back to each one every day, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Very simple, you know, being accepted as a friend.
That's true. Thank you for sharing that. It's interesting, we've talked about how we like to be affirmed, how we feel affirmed. We've talked a little bit about how we can affirm others. But what are some ways to get into that a little more, that we can affirm others? Sometimes we see those as two different things. We like to be affirmed in one way, but we're much more generous in affirming others than we are in having others affirm ourselves. What are some ways that we can affirm others?
When somebody gives you a compliment or a praise, say thank you and say, oh no, not me.
Exactly. I have that in my notes. We deprecate so often when someone says exactly what you said, and we say, oh, not me, or I didn't do that. I got an A in algebra, and I am real proud of that, but it took four tutors in my head to get it. And every time someone says, how do you do, I tell them the total story. And so far, everyone has said, it doesn't matter. The fact is, you did it. And how do you feel about it? So, say thank you. Exactly. It is. It's very hard to say.
My problem is when... I have a sister who is very poor, and she would want to give me something, and it was so hard for me to accept that because I knew she needed it herself. But I found out that she needed to give as well as I did.
That's right. Mm-hmm. So when someone gives you something, say thank you and be glad for it, and presume that they know exactly what they're doing, and it's a need that they need to do and you need to accept.
What is another way? What are some other ways that we can affirm others?
I could tell you one, and I'll bet you a lot of people wouldn't have faith in it. You're on down the road, they tell you to help a stranger. What if you step there and pick him up, give him a ride? How far would you trust him? Trust in thy Lord. He will direct that path. But how many would trust him?
Thank you for sharing. Thank you.
What? There are many people, I live pretty close to the freeway, so many people stop by there to, if they have car trouble or something. Now, how do you know which one to, you know, to help? But I have found that I say to them, I don't let them into my house because my children will never fit. And I say, okay, I'll be happy to make your phone call for you. So I do help them that way.
When we're talking, can I interrupt you? I'm sorry. When we're talking, I think what we're trying to say today is that we have to be more aware of ourselves and how we affect others and how others affect us. We want to build each other up. We want ourselves to be built up rather than to be torn down. And how can we go about doing that in a way that is positive, yeah.
I have found out that if you go along the street, so many people have their faces down. If you give a smile, they'll smile back to you.
I think I shared last evening that there was a person in my first year of seminary who, whenever our paths crossed going across campus, would smile. I never got to know her that well, and yet the second year she was gone, and I really missed that smile that she gave every day. Yesterday or the day before, she appeared here in the village, and I was just delighted because I had not up until that time been able to tell her how much that meant. And I just think that those little things are so important. They do build us up, and they are helpful. Have you thought about the scripture that was used a couple nights ago about the person who was deaf and dumb? What does that mean to you? Zero? No knowledge? Dumb? Then let's use the word deaf and mute, choosing not to speak rather than cannot speak or is dumb. Even though we know that word dumb means does not speak, the word is not always taken that way by lots of people. So that was one that kind of got to me the other night. How many of you had mothers or parents or whatever who said this to you? I know my mother always did. If you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all. Yeah, right. We have to realize, I guess, the power that we give to others and that others give to us. Do you have anything you want to?
Well, I was going to say along the close line is realizing that the behavior of some is almost automatically the opposite of how they're feeling inside. If you sit with someone and be aware of what they're saying, and you hear that they need to know they made the best pie, or they need to know that you are listening to them and that you can at least say something. They're asking, but some people just can't out and say, I really need a hug, as Barbara can do, or I really need you to tell me I'm doing well today because I don't feel well today. Just that the behavior does not always go along with the arrogant person walking down the street dressed like the showpiece does not necessarily mean that that person has it together as we think that they might. Body behavior and talking does not always go along with what's happening inside.
We've talked together about 45 minutes now. I guess I don't know what you exactly would like to add, but I just really hope that we can be aware, after spending this time together and some of this discussion, of how important it is to feel good about ourselves, to accept when other people give us compliments, also to help other people feel good about themselves, to give people praise when it is appropriate, not empty praise that doesn't mean anything. But if you like something someone does, I'll come back again some of you have heard this, the story that my grandfather told me. I saw him, the last time I saw him in the hospital. On my way out the door, I said, "Grandpa, I love you." And he said, "Come here," in his heavy Norwegian brogue. And he said, "Barbara, if you like someone, if you care about someone, if you like something they do, tell them. They may not understand what you're saying. They may misinterpret what you're saying. But," he said, "I don't care if it's a man, another woman, or a child. Tell them or show them. You may never have another chance." That's probably the greatest legacy I could ever have gotten. And I think it's so important, yes.
I've been waiting for somebody to quote from Psalm 8 on this matter of self-affirmation. "When I look at thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the sun and the moon that thou hast ordained, what is man that thou hast mindful of him? Yet thou hast made him a little less than God, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou hast put all things under his feet." So we're all VIPs.
Yes. Yeah, I believe it.
Just a little less than God. And many people don't believe that, I guess.
Mm-hmm. I don't.
But they should. That's biblical.
And so maybe that's what we can do for each other, is to help them believe. Help me believe.
I've said to many people, "You're a VIP."
Mm-hmm.
They thought I'm a nothing.
Mm-hmm. And maybe
a
that's...
cipher.
Huh?
A cipher.
And maybe that's an appropriate place for us to close our session today, because indeed that is what we're talking about. Indeed, that is it. Why don't you say that again?
"When I look at the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the sun and the moon that thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Yet thou hast made him a little less than God, and crowned him with glory and honor. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, the beasts of the forest, the fish of the sea, etc., etc."
Thank you very, very much. And thank you all, you VIPs.
Yes.